Welcome to episode 4 of the Iowa blog on solving puzzles. I'm your host, Craig Wynn. I'm going to retreat just a bit from where we ended our last program, part 3 on solving puzzles, where we entered the realm of Yeshaya, my favorite prophet. We were addressing Yeshaya 25:9, and then on through the 26th chapter. And the reason we're going to retreat here so that we have a better appreciation of where we're going in context, and because what Yahweh revealed through Yeshaya was so startling to Israelites, to Jews, that it needs to be reinforced. Throughout the Torah, one of the things that Yahweh makes very clear is do not emulate the ways of the Goyim. And the reason for that is the Goyim were religious, they were political, they intertwined their religion and their politics. And Yahweh doesn't want his people engaged in either of these things. In fact, the only way to be part of his covenant, family, is to disavow religion and politics. You have to become anti-religious and apolitical to even begin the process of coming to know and to be engaged in a relationship with Yahweh. So when Yahweh says, open the doors to a goy, let him in because he's right. He's trustworthy. This is so shocking to the Jewish mindset that there could be a righteous goy who's figured out something profoundly important about them and their fractured relationship with Yahweh, that God told them 2,700 years ago that it was time for them to let him in and to listen. Now, I recognize I am not telling those of you who are listening to this live stream anything you don't already know. You have already opened the doors to your home. You have already done Yahweh the great favor of listening to what he has to say through his Bashar Herald. But because this is so profoundly important, so timely, so essential to the very survival of Israel and the lives of Yehudim, on God's behalf and on their behalf, I'm asking you to share it. Please subscribe to those channels. If you're on X, click in as someone who is following. If you're on Facebook, sign up as a friend. If you are on YouTube, subscribe. And go beyond that. You know, you may not like my diction. You may not like my colorful shirts. You may not like my style. But since what I have to say is what Yahweh wants you to know, do us all the kindness, and those who will have the opportunity to listen, if you do so, to click that like button and then share this with everyone you know. This is Yahweh. Yahweh, pronounced as we have been taught to pronounce God's name, through his Torah instructions regarding his high existence and the shalom, reconciliation he has provided, whom we have anticipated. We are rejoicing and glad in his liberation and his deliverance. Now, as I have shared on not one but two programs previously, there isn't a single Israelite, not a single Yehud on planet Earth that would have been able to make this declaration that they were anticipating Yahweh's return, and that they were expecting to rejoice and be glad in the liberation and the deliverance that God is providing to them, had it not been for the realization that Yahweh chose, equipped, and inspired a goy, his Nakri, observant foreigner, to bring this message to you, to reintroduce Yahweh's name, to reacquaint God's people with their Messiah and King, indeed, with the very Passover lamb that fulfilled Pesach, Matzah, and Bukurim, and with the timeline, such that they would know precisely when God is returning, so that they can be there to make this declaration. That was Yahshua 25:9. During this day, they will sing this song in the land of Yehuda. Our city has been empowered and is strong, becoming a place of salvation, protected, and fortified. These 35 books that sit on the shelves behind me were written for a singular purpose: to call God's people back home. And home for God's people is in Jerusalem, Yehuda, Israel. This is the place where Yahweh's voice will be heard the loudest, where he will be seen the clearest, and where he will protect and save a surviving remnant of his people. For this to be possible, the prophet then goes on to say, open your gates and your doors so that the correct and righteous, the right thinking, valid and vindicating goy. Wa goy sadak, who has been observant, shamar, and is trustworthy, umun, may enter, bo. What could be more important than this? Here you are, Israel. The whole world has turned against you. Muslims, 2 billion strong, are amassing around you and threatening to eradicate you, to exterminate Jews, to wipe Israel off the face of the earth. And you're getting it from both sides, from secular liberal progressives and for fundamentalist religious Muslims. A couple of billion of each worldwide. And with all of these attacks, your thought might be, well, let's close the doors, let's close the gates, let's protect ourselves from all of those who wish to destroy us. And yet in the midst of this, knowing that you're listening on the cusp of the time of Israel's troubles, with the whole world having turned against you, the recommendation of Yahweh is to open your gates and doors. You know, you made yourself vulnerable when the flood of Al-Aqsa terrorized, mutilated, abducted, raped, committed acts of mass murder in southern Israel just a little over a year ago. With your fences up high, with your gates closed, they ransacked Israel savagely. And this time, the very God who created the earth, who formed this covenant relationship with you, who inspired these prophets in your language among you, is telling you to let down your guard. You know why you need to let down your guard at the point where you have, well, the good Muslims amongst the 2 billion Muslims that are calling for your demise? Because you can't win with bullets and bombs. because the IDF cannot protect you from this foe. They have been in Gaza over a year. They have bombed it into the Stone Age. And yet there are more Islamic jihadists in Gaza now than there were before they began. Something that I predicted on the morning of 10/7/23. So God is saying this time, bullets and bombs aren't going to do the trick. Fences didn't work and they're not going to work now. Your only chance, Israel, is to open up to the truth. Open up to Yahweh's message delivered by his Nakri, observant foreigner. It is the only solution, your only salvation, your means to be delivered from your foes and from yourselves. You need to open up to the truth. Because a correct and righteous goy, one who is of a different ethnicity but is valid and vindicating, as a result of having been observant, closely examining, and carefully considering what is trustworthy, may enter. Please, now that I'm in your home, now that I'm part of your lives, share this program with all who can and will listen. It is for all Yisrael, for all Yahudim, and it is for all Goyim who care about Yisrael and who stand with Yahudim. Thoughtful, inspired, and motivated. Inclined to reason, steadfast, hardworking, and purposeful. I may have my faults, but these are among my assets. I have been thoughtful about the diligent work I have done of being observant so that I could be trustful these 23 years during every waking hour, so that Yahweh could say these things about me and what I'm doing for you 2,700 years in advance of it coming to fruition. Upheld, supported, and steadfast. Well, perhaps that's the reason. I would have one time have thought that would have been the only reason that someone like myself could have studied Yahweh's testimony from the oldest extant sources, translated it in an amplified fashion, and then explained it, deriving thousands of previously unheralded insights from it, and share them with you such that the entire puzzle, the entire picture that Yahweh has painted for us comes together and is a cohesive whole, so that you can understand for the first time in 3,000 years who Yahweh really is, what he is offering through the covenant, the bereth, and the invitations to meet, the mikre, so that you can be part of his eternal family, so that you can either be harvested on Shavuah and Teruah and become magnificent children, enriched and empowered by our God, the very heirs to the covenant, or at the very least among this mortal remnant who is prepared for Yahweh's return 10 days later on Teruah in 2033. Yahweh is going to take no chances in this particular case. And he explained earlier in this same prophetic tome on the 11th chapter of Yahshayah Isaiah, specifically how he would uphold, support, and make steadfast, sustain, empower, and indeed make unshakable his choder, this sucker growing up from the abandoned trunk and the rootstock of Yisrael. You watch over and protect the one who is completely devoted to reconciliation. You see, the day that I am most focused on, because Yah was most focused upon, is Yom Kippurim. It means the day of reconciliation. Yes, I have been asked as a Zoroa to cultivate the seeds for a productive Shavua harvest and even a gleaning of Yisraelites on Teruah, and asked to sacrifice my Bashar body on the Shabbat of September 24th, 2033, 10 days before your Messiah's return with your God, so that you are cleansed and prepared to meet them. But all of this is really for a singular purpose. It is my job to make certain that there is a homecoming, that there is a family reunion, that Dod can reconcile the relationship with this remnant of Yisrael on behalf of Yahweh by anointing the mercy seat of the Ark of the Covenant as prescribed in the Torah on the day of reconciliations in 6000 Yah, 6:22 p.m. as the sun sets in Jerusalem, October 2nd, 2033. If I were to fail in this regard, the earth would be destroyed. Yahweh and Dod would not return. It would be the end of this experiment in life. Fortunately, I was not left to my own devices, and Yahweh made certain with his seven spirits that I would be able to invest the time as an observant foreigner to understand his message as never before. And that while there are these 35 books that sit on the shelf behind me, I have become the living embodiment of everything I have learned. And now I am able to look you in the eye and share all of this with you so that you and I together can make certain that Yahweh's homecoming and the family reunion with Dod David is a cause for great celebration, just as this prophecy portends. And while Yahweh has announced in advance in this very prophetic testimony, in this very revelation, just a few verses earlier, that there will be a remnant of Yisrael that will be anticipating Yahweh's return, that will be acknowledging his name, that will be joyful at this event. And therefore, Yahweh has seen our future, and indeed, working collaboratively, we prevail. But the reason we prevail is not because God foresaw it, but because we're doing it. We're doing what is required for that to occur. We're investing the time, the energy, the passion, all of the skill that our intellect can provide to boldly, plainly, clearly articulate this message so that you know it, so that the celebration of Yom Kippurim in year 6000 Yah, in the 120th Yobel year, is joyous indeed. We will prevail. And many of you will be there. And some of you will help us awaken ever more Yisraelites and Yehudim for this great celebration of family and of life. My buddy, and I cannot help but call Yasha, Yah, Isaiah, my buddy. I'm not trying to make light of the great importance of his mission. But so much of Yahshayah is devoted to explaining how to perform as the Choder, as the final Zeruah, as the Bashar, as the one heralding this message. He is the one who wrote the textbook inspired by Yahweh on how to do this job. And he is also the one who explained in this same textbook how you should respond. And he's the one who I think did the best job of explaining why Yahweh hates religion. Judaism, Christianity, Islam, progressive politics, it does not matter. He despises them all. And this is his solution. Indeed, therefore, he is with you, always and forever, trusting and relying upon Yahweh's eternal witness and restoring testimony. I don't speak to you about myself. I don't speak to you about my agenda. I don't have an agenda. I am irrelevant apart from Yahweh. Even my sacrifice as the red heifer is irrelevant apart from what Yahweh does with it. My testimony is restoring, and it is eternal. And my relationship with Yahweh is forever, because I will always trust and rely upon my God and what he revealed. It really is that simple. If you want to be right about God. If you want to be trustworthy, share what God conveyed. If you want to live forever, such that God says you are not only devoted to reconciliation, and that I am watching over you and I will always be with you, I will trust you, I'm going to even rely on you to do this mission, then you ought to do the same thing. Closely examine, carefully consider the restoring testimony and the eternal witness of Yahweh as presented in his Torah, Nabi. What is more? Yahshayah 26, 3 and 4. The way of this correct one, the one who is right, the one who is valid and vindicating. It's honest. It is in complete agreement with the standard. He is upright, reconciling, and correct. You have made it possible for the direction and teaching of the one who is stock, right, correct, valid, vindicating, to be straightforward and on the level. Yahshayah 26:7. You may be screaming in the back of your head, there is no way that the Creator God of the universe is communicating through a lousy goy that's got a scratch and a tick on the back of his throat and needs to drink iced tea just to be able to communicate with you. You may say, no. There's not a chance that God would have stooped so low as to pick you. If he wanted me to know that, he should speak directly to me. He should speak through somebody with credentials, somebody with a flowery resume. No. What part of his story don't you get? How many people did Yahweh reveal the covenant to? The answer is one. And he wasn't much of a guy either. It was to Abraham. Yes, Sarah was there as a witness, But he revealed all of this to Abraham. All the narrative is with Abraham. And Abraham was a scallywag. I mean, he twice pimped out Sarah for a sheep. You know, I'm here to tell you, he wasn't the brightest tool in the shed either. One person. One. Do you think that Yahweh picked Noah because of his prowess and building ships? Or was it some other reason? Like he was living apart from religion and politics. And he was the only person on the planet that was willing to listen and do what God asked. When Yahweh heard that his people were in trouble, that they were being abused and acts of genocide were being perpetrated against them, did he go out with an all points bulletin and say, I need an army. I need kings. I need leaders of men to go rescue my people. Or did he pick a 80-year-old shepherd grazing sheep in the hinterlands of the desert environs of Arabia who stuttered? And when I ask you, how many people did Yahweh choose to work with to liberate his children from the crucibles of religious and political oppression? If you tell me two or three, then you don't know the story. Because when Miriam came up with Aaron and said, you know, we can speak for Yahweh too. He plagued her with leprosy. No, one. So Yahweh picked. When Yahweh decided that he needed to have an exemplar of the covenant, to have someone who would be compassionate and courageous enough to lay down his life as the Passover lamb, to save his people from themselves, to unite and to defend all of Israel, that he with a big booming voice say, signups, aisle number 7, please. All those interested, kings only, military men only, men with a big booming voice only need to apply. Already pick an 8-year-old boy who was pretty good throwing rocks and tending sheep. What did Israel do when Yahweh said, you know, I'm going to come down from this mountain and I'm going to gather before, speak to all of Israel, Moshe, so they will know that I have chosen to reveal my teaching and guidance through you, one man. They told him to shut up and go away. So this is what you got, Israel. That was really clear. For the better part of 2,500 years, he spoke through the prophets, including this one, Yahshua. And what he said is that he could find no one among his people who was willing to listen to him or go where his words lead. So that's why he ended up with me. I was willing. You were not. But guess what? What he wanted me to do was nonetheless for you. I'm not talking into this camera, facing all these lights for my benefit. Do you have any idea how becoming vulnerable this way is in terms of criticism that one causes as a result, rebellions? I mean, I'm doing this for you. Yahweh is doing this for you. You spit in his face. You erased his name. You denied his son. You've done everything you could possibly do to deny his message. And you would have ended up causing all life to be extinguished and this planet to be obliterated because not a soul would have been there for the family reunion or homecoming, you wouldn't even know it exists because, well, on your Yom Kippur, you're too busy twirling chickens over your head. And on Teruah, you don't even know the date. You've exchanged that for Rosh Hashanah, the Babylonian New Year. You're clueless. And you would have remained clueless. That's the whole reason for this prophecy. The reason that I have such respect for Yeshayah is because he was willing to tell you so, and under no uncertain terms. This is the voice of the one who is right, straightforward, and on the level, whose teaching and direction will have made all of this possible for you, if you will listen. Go where Yahweh's words lead, and then share them. And so as a result, Yahweh, we confidently wait, anticipating these benefits, by way of your mishvat, by way of exercising good judgment regarding the way that you have provided to resolve our disputes. And the resolution of your name, of your Torah, and for the pleasure and satisfaction it brings to our souls, such that this is what we desire. 26:8 of Yeshayah. Are you ready to say those words? Are you now in a position to confidently wait, anticipating the benefits? The benefits of what? Do you even know where the benefits are derived? Now, if you're listening to this program because you've read all of the 35 books behind me, because you've been part of the covenant family for years, then you, yes, you know. But if you haven't been, let me explain. There are five conditions and five benefits of the covenant. Those five benefits are all provided in the first three Moed Mikre that Dod fulfilled with the Yahweh. Passover opens the doorway to life eternal. Matzah expunges our souls of the fungus of religion and politics, because Dod David carried our guilt with him into Sheol, where he deposited it, never to be seen again, which means that on Bukurim, firstborn children, father and son were reunited, signing our adoption papers so that we could be enriched and empowered, inheriting all that Yahweh has to give. These are the benefits of the covenant. These are the results of the first three Mikre. The Mishvat is simply coming to understand and appreciate the means to make a good decision, exercising good judgment regarding all that Yahweh is offering and has provided for our benefit. And the first step in this regard is the resolution that Yahweh's name is Yahweh. It is not Hashem. It is not Adonai. It is not Lord. It is not G-D. Yahweh wrote his name in the first statement on the first tablet. And he said, I am Yahweh. You will not exist without me. I am the one who liberated you from the crucibles of oppression and slavery. Do you think that Yahweh knows how to spell his name? Reasonable question. When Yahweh told Moshe to tell the children of Israel that his name was Yahweh, and that's the name that he wished to be remembered for all time and all places, do you think that Moshe was able to pronounce it? Do you think that Yahweh's name, which is comprised of four vowels, and three of the 22 letters found in the Hebrew alphabet that comprise the vocalization of every word in the language, are somehow special, that when they're used in Torah, they can be pronounced. When they're used in Haya, the verb that Yahweh used to define his name, when used in Shalom, the result of Yahweh's name, they're pronounceable, but when they're formed in Yahweh's name, they're suddenly not. You know that the rabbinic types, particularly among the Haredim, are insistent that they're too busy studying Torah to lift a finger to do anything productive in their lives or to defend Yisrael. They, however, won't bother to say Yahweh's name, and yet they claim that they're providing a service to the God whose name they have erased. Doesn't make much sense, does it? And the Torah they claim they're studying isn't the one that would be under this classification, speaking of Yahweh being Yahweh's Torah. No, it is their Talmud, which these arrogant scum have used to elevate the credibility of their arguments. If you won't do it based on good judgment, based upon Yahweh's name, based upon his instructions and guidance in his Torah, then at the very least, do it for your own satisfaction. Yeshayah 26:8. But with so much to share, so much to learn, and now with so little time, Yeshayah asks, through whom will he teach and then make openly known? Yara, will he deploy as a source of guidance and instruction? With Yara serving as the verbal root of the noun Torah. Perhaps you've heard of that before. Has anyone told you that Torah does not mean law? The Torah is based on Yara, which is the source of guidance and instructions, teaching and directions. Through whom you previously said it was through a single goy. Through whom? Who is that goy? That he will teach and then make openly known by means, the means to exercise good judgment and to become aware of the relationship. Have any other candidates out there? Anybody who's been doing it for, well, 2 decades? It took that long to write these books, and without these books, I couldn't be talking to you. Anybody else out there? And if there is, hallelujah. But because there isn't, hallelujah. And through whom will he provide the ability to understand, BN? There are a lot of things that I have focused on over these past 2 decades, but none as vociferously as bien. It is my favorite Hebrew word. It means to make connections between things. Bien is the path that one takes if they are capable of chogma, to transition between knowing, which is achieved by closely examining, carefully considering, being observant, and being understanding. It is only when you are able to explain what you're reading by sharing how the entire puzzle is solved, when the proper pieces are put in their proper context, and then the proper perspective and proper framing all provide a portrait that God has painted for us. Bien is how you solve the puzzle. And so through whom will he provide the ability to understand this message? That which has been revealed, that which has been communicated Yahweh did not need another prophet. He had already told us there would be no more prophets. Another prophet would have been counterproductive. Well, first of all, it would contradict something Yahweh said, so that wouldn't work. But beyond all that, there was not enough time from the beginning of our relationship together for me to be prepared to do this and then write down the data dump that Yahweh would have provided prophetically to explain what's going to happen in the next 20 years with the ability to prove it by those events playing out as predicted, but yet in time that those who now have the evidence that it was a prophecy could capitalize upon it without having died previously. You follow that? Now, if you didn't follow that, then it's for darn sure you wouldn't understand the whole concept of a prophet. It would have been counterproductive. What was productive is for Yahweh to convey the realization, as he has right here, that everything his people needed to know to be right with him, to know his name, to understand the benefits of the covenant, to participate in the Mikre, to be there and to celebrate Yom Kippurim, were all provided by his prophets long ago, between 2,500 and 3,500 years ago, put in writing to be observed, to be known, to be understood, to be shared, to be trusted, relied upon, and acted on. That was the better approach, and Yahweh knew it. And that is what he has said here. Through whom will he provide the ability to understand this message, which has been revealed and previously communicated, so that he will realize what's going to occur. And I can tell you what's going to occur long before it does, so that you can capitalize upon it. Those who are being weaned from milk and who have just been taken from the breast will be the beneficiary. Those who have grown up, formed a backbone, replaced gobbledygook with intelligence, had the courage and the passion to join us. The whole Shavuah harvest is of standing grain, of mature participants in the covenant family. You don't have much time now to grow up. So I'm going to give you both barrels as fast and as furiously as I can provide it. We're going to be here every day, at least 2 hours a day, sharing Yahweh's message with you. To the contrary, in 28:10, we read, it is instruction after instruction. The terms of what is being offered and the conditions of what is expected, line after line, in another language, a little bit of guidance from one location, more teaching from another place. Yes, if you listen to Solving Puzzles, episode 2, you realize we covered that. Everything I'm sharing with you is review. You know why? Because this is important. God needs, I need, Israel needs, Yehudim need you to transfer what we're talking about now from short-term memory. And boy, that was really entertaining. What a bold concept, to long-term memory. And then to act upon it so that it's literally part of the fabric of your life. That you go even past understanding it to living it. And the only way we can accomplish that is to get it past short-term memory, to get it embedded in your long-term memory, and then to motivate you to act upon it because you understand it, you trust it. Yes. For the first time ever, Yahweh has foretold that he would come to you speaking through someone in a language other than Hebrew. Turns out to be the lingua franca of the world at the time of his return. Turns out to be the language spoken by more Yehudim, Jews, and Israelites, than any other on earth. In a short period of time, now less than 9 years from now, and only then, just 10 days before the Messiah's return, the remnant of the children of Israel must be prepared. They must finally come to their senses, and for that to occur, we have to make great progress between now and then. We must afford Israelites and Yehudim reasons to disassociate from Israeli politics and Judaism, to realize that rather than closing the gates and having the IDF circle all around so as to pretend, to create the pretense of protection, which did nothing for them the last time. It was, 12 hours before the IDF even responded. That you'll open your doors, your hearts, your minds, and let Yahweh's Nakri, observant foreigner, in. Because the defense of Israel is not in bullets and bombs. You will manufacture more Islamic terrorists than you kill. It is in words wielded wisely. And if you want to be wise with your words, you have to know Yahweh and have an appreciation for what he revealed to you. And that's only possible when you begin the process by walking away from politics and religion. Progressives and socialists, the religious and political, the conspiratorial and patriotic, particularly the militaristic, including every remaining Christian, Muslim, and Haredim, will actually have to be removed for Yahweh to restore the earth back to the conditions found in Eden. Purged of religion, Yehudim will be celebrating the Shabbat in an entirely different way. With the Talmud gone, this will be Yahweh's first opportunity to present his Torah to his people in such a way that they not only understand it and can respond appropriately, he has promised to write it right into the fabric of our lives. And that is why God is asking you to open up your homes to this goy, something that you probably would not have otherwise even considered. Without this song being sung, without Yahshua's explicit endorsement and Yahweh's sponsorship, and especially after having been harassed by Gentiles for a millennia under the Roman Catholic Church, under Imperial Rome, by the Assyrians and the Babylonians and the Egyptians, and of course, by crazed Muslims. Millennia after millennia, I realize it's hard to let down your guard. But this is the only way. It is your last chance. So as the infants grow into mature adults, God is telling us that even then someone needs to be teaching them. And that is not going to, they are not going to stay as suckling babes forever. It's time to grow up. Yahweh is putting his people on notice that there is a lot for them to learn and a great deal for them to accomplish. There are instructions, terms and conditions, line after line, that must be appropriately translated and explained in the language best known to these Yehudim. As is the case with every question posed by one of Yahweh's prophets, Yahweh knows the identity of his witness and teacher. Of course he does. He has offered him his seven spirits. He predicted the arrival of the Choder. He knows that He will be the third and final Zoroa. He is aware of this man being his Nakri too. His coal voice. His Bashar herald. And that is where this gets especially interesting, because Cha and Ka have a light and dark side, as I shared with you in our last program. While they are perfectly suited to describe the message that is contained in the Yahweh branded books that are behind me at yadayah.com, though stubbornly singing the sour notes right to the very end, are part of the chaff that must be blown away. The prophet said, inspired by Yahweh, "For indeed, with foreign lips speaking a currently unfamiliar language and in a future foreign tongue, he will continually speak about these particular people and his family, to whom and to show the way to the benefits of the relationship he is actually and actively expressing on their behalf. This will provide spiritual tranquility, indeed contentment, for those who are seeking to be nourished and to recuperate. This is the means to find relief. This is the only solution for the next wave of Islamic terrorism and the growing tsunami of anti-Semitism sweeping across the globe." But the prophet knows and therefore said, "But many will be unwilling. They will not listen. They will not shama. Therefore, the word of Yahweh will be for them as blah, blah, blah. Worthless filth and futility. Just a bunch of commandments, a drumbeat of endless rules. Nothing but one line after another of meaningless gibberish. A little from one place, a little more from another place. As a result, they will walk accordingly, and they will stumble and fall, and in the end upon their asses, and they will be scrutinized and broken and snarled." Boy, having spent the morning dealing with the experience of spitting into the wind on X, I can tell you that is our reality. I am, you know, so grateful for like this program, live streams also on Facebook, where we've actually built a community where we can engage with one another in a very positive, uplifting, and civil way. I'm so grateful for what Zuckerberg has turned Facebook into now that he has fired the thought police. What a tremendous gift this Jewish man has provided for his people. And so while there is lots of blah, 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 worthless filth and futility, lots of people making edicts, one line after another of gibberish, there is still a candle flickering in the wind. In fact, seven of them represented by that menorah over my shoulder. And collectively, we will be like a beacon of light. Yahweh in the 89th Mizmor and in the fourth day of creation speaks specifically of the relationship of the greater luminary to the lesser luminary, and also of the relationship of the sun to the moon at in Dod Song. We recognize that we're in a time of utter darkness, and where the reflected light of the sun on the moon's surface is that secondary and lesser luminary. And it is a very, very bright light for our time. So there is the opportunity to see the truth, to know the truth, to be awakened and enlightened so that you can capitalize on the restoring witness of our God. The prophet therefore says, listen to the word, Shamar Dabar. Good advice. Of Yahweh, you braggarts, using derisive language to rule over the people for your benefit in Jerusalem. God has the number of the rabbis, and it is a wrong number. The sooner you realize that, Yisrael, the closer you'll be to engaging in a relationship with Yahweh, listening to God's testimony for the first time, avoiding being abused by the braggarts who are misleading you for their own benefit and acclaim. Indeed, you have said, we have made a covenant with the dead. And so in the company of Sheol, we will act upon this agreement received from the writers from long ago. Therefore, during the overwhelming chastisement, it will pass through and not affect us because we have arranged lies, deceptions, and delusions is our refuge. Yeah, the rabbis have even gone so far as to deny Shamaim and Sheol. But their deception will not protect them from it. They will all endure it because of what they have done. Misleading God's people for this long in this way comes with a consequence. In these false claims and upon this dishonest witness, we will hide and conceal ourselves. Well, that's what they may think, and that's what they have done. But we are now here to hold them accountable. Well, Yahweh has shown his hand. He has revealed his plan. He will deploy and equip Anakri, an observant foreigner, to warn and protect his people. He will not only cultivate the final harvest, but will also serve Yisrael in ways they cannot even imagine, particularly the final remnant as they fight for their very existence. As a result, Yahweh will take a stand to establish and restore, consistent with what occurred on Mount Parazim of breaking free. Like the Amok, the profound implications of Gibeon, of lifting up. He will be provoked to anger, sufficiently enraged to engage and to do what needs to be done to accomplish. What working with this non-Israelite will achieve. Furthering his work with the Nakri, the observant and responsive foreigner who is serving with him. Yisrael, did you hear the words of your God? Can you accept them? Can you act upon them? Can you benefit from them? Or is the millennia, the centuries of deceit, beguilement from your prior political and religious leaders, does it have you so confused, so beguiled, so out of touch with reason that you would squander this opportunity? As a result, Yahweh, will take a stand to reestablish and restore, consistent with what occurred on Mount Parazim of breaking free, which is where Yahweh helped Dod defeat the Philistines. Like the Amak, profound implications of Gibeon lifting up. The site of another decisive victory against the Philistines, under the shadow of the recently returned Ark of the Covenant. If that doesn't get your attention, what do you need? Well, if you don't get it, then you need to know, with all God has done for you, with all he has revealed, he's going to be provoked to anger. And right now, he is sufficiently enraged that he was willing to engage a goy, if for no other purpose than to slap his people across the cheek and say, wake up, I should have been doing this with you. But not one of you was even willing to listen to me. You haven't changed one iota since 3,450 years ago when you told me to shut up and go away. You're still back there in the embittered waters of Meribah, wallowing in your own muck and filth. So I decided to engage and to do what needs to be done, working with a non-Israelite, Zar Maasehu, furthering his work with the Nakri, the observant and responsive foreigner who is serving with him. Thank you, Yeshaya. I hope Yisrael, you are appreciative of what your prophet revealed and of what Yahweh did, such that you could have his entire scroll, every word that he wrote, preserved for you in the great Isaiah scroll. Also, that you could verify for yourself that what he is revealing to you through me is valid and true. With his people having precluded themselves from working with God, Yahweh turned to a Nakri, an observant and responsive foreigner, to convey his message. And what was once an act of necessity without any other option has turned into a valued and productive relationship. I may have been the last choice, the only choice, a choice made by default. But I have honored that choice. I have devoted my life to this cause. I have served Yahweh and continue to serve him with distinction. And if that were not so, he would not have said so. So now at this time, go about writing this against them upon a tablet or flat panel screen. Then inscribe it in a book. It will be for the last days, serving as an enduring witness. This is because they are a contentious and rebellious people, Mary. They're embittered, recalcitrant, sometimes even revolting. They are lying children, deceitful and mendacious boys, delusional and disappointing. Children who are unwilling to listen to Yahweh's Torah. Yeshaya 39. This is where we're going to pick up Yah's story in the fifth episode of Solving Puzzles. Are the pieces falling into place for you now? Are you getting a clue as to the portrait that Yah was painting of himself and of you? Do you understand? Well, I was asked to put these pieces together and then share the result with you. I hope so. And I thank you for inviting us into your home, for listening, to the Yahweh blog. I am Yahweh's voice, your host, Craig Wynn.